Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter, and the singer and writer of the music for that is Shout Even Shy. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to Atima Voices Radio. We are a radio group sponsored by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, and we hang out at allpoetry.com, a giant poetry site where you can join for free. If you join or you are a member, you can find us under the group tab. Again, that's a team of voices, and I'll meet you at the door. If you'd like to participate, just follow the topic boards. And in the chat room, we post the links that we use on the show, and you can follow along and comment. And if you'd like to call to participate, the number is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And right now we are in the middle now. Actually, we're getting close to the end of several months of the poetry series where we feature our fellow poets, quotes by them, paired up with prompt choices of art. This week the artist is Gail Berry. And there were many pictures for the poets to choose from, as well as 10 quotes Tonight's feature poet is Infinite Destruction, and we all chose one of his quotes and wrote our poems to those. And with that being said, the studio's packed, so I think we better get this going. I'm going to start by introducing my co-host, Jay Hatter, and the writer of that poem song. Hey, Hatter. Glad you're here.
Hi. Yep, me too.
And also another board member and the founder of the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation, Mr. A.P. Taylor. Hey, A.P., glad you're here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Yeah, good. You?
Good. And I'm pretty sure the next caller is Mr. Infinite Destruction. Is that you?
It is I.
Glad you're able to make it. Looking forward to seeing what kind of poems your poetry or your words produced. And right behind him is none other than Mr. Dave Prophet. Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi, Deb. Pleased to be here with you.
Glad you're here. And right behind David, which is quite a coincidence since he is our king storyteller, is the queen storyteller, Liquid Damage, a.k.a. Linda. Hey, Linda, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hey, Deb. Yeah, it's nice to be here.
And right behind Linda is none other than Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne. Glad you're here. Welcome to the show.
What's happening, gang? Glad to be here.
Hey, Wayne.
Yeah, you got a award-winning crew there tonight. So you got a good crew.
Sure do. And I am going to kick this off with Linda tonight, Liquid Damage, because she is about to read and run and go celebrate her husband's birthday. So happy birthday to him, along with a shout-out to my daughter. Happy birthday, Christina.
Hey, hey.
Happy birthdays all around.
Thank you. And with that said, Linda, your poem is on the board. So if you would tell us the quote that you wrote to and kick us off, that would be great.
The quote by Infinite Destruction is, "There lies a place cold and dim, dampened by an immeasurable blanket of tears." And I want to thank you for that quote because it brought out something beautiful, I think. And this one's just for you. The words that write this story, part two. For our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years, for our pain, for our glory, for the words that write this story. Now the years have grown cold and the days have turned to rust. He watched the world around him all turn into dust. His pain is etched in the lines of his face as he sits in quiet solitude. Before he walked with dauntless grace, but now he is radically subdued. The eagle perched like shadows in the blindness of his gaze and watches for reflections in the midst of purple haze. Old grandfather, barely dead, hanging on by just a thread, can't remember pathways taken, which were followed, which were led. But today he tries in vain. He stares at time and sorrow for what has come to be his mind and haunts him through tomorrow. The tempo of this lonely age has melted retrospection. He sees with fingers mummified and feels with absolution. For our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years, for our strength, for our glory, for the words that write this story. The wind blew saffron-colored grass across his plains estate, till battles came and turned them red by soldiers filled with hate. Now his family is no more, wiped out by the surge, and on their way to evermore, there will be no dirge. And all the things he cherished, the buffalo and land, were destroyed and left to perish by the hands of the white man. His pride is his shelter now, and the eagle eats his fear. The only show of heartache on his cheek, a single tear. The colors of his life have been painted on the rain. His voice sails tempted on the wind. He sits in oars of colors once divine, but a life that is grossly unexamined. for our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years, for our strength, for our glory, for the words that write this story in poem.
Wow.
Right? Wow, that's definitely correct there. Okay, for starters, on a side note, I love that song. And I think that you used that piece of it incredibly, Linda. It goes so well with the content. I mean, I'm utterly impressed at how well it fits your topic with the tears, the Trail of Tears. So, like, amazing. I remember part one. I'm thrilled to see that you did a part two with the same respect and honor that you did part one. I think that between that art and the tune and the quote by Infinite Destruction and then your storytelling skills, that you absolutely blew this prompt away. His voice sails tempered on the wind, and he sits in an aura of color once divine, but a life that is grossly unexamined. And, like, well, unexamined and unrespected, sadly, in many ways, but definitely respected by your words here. The eagle perched like shadows in the blindness of his gaze and watches for reflections in the mist of purple haze. I mean, Linda, your rhymes are always spot on, and so are your storytelling skills. But there was so much history and emotion and importance packed into this. And like I said, I don't think you could have picked a better verse or stanza from a song to incorporate. I think you did a brilliant job, and this might even be my new favorite by you.
Oh, wow. Thanks, Deb.
Very impressed.
I'm honored.
And just a reminder, tonight how we do these is because it's Infinite's words, we have the reader read, I comment, and then Infinite comments, and then the next reader comments as well. That way we can fit all these, what are sure to be amazing poems, into the show tonight. With that said, Infinite, what did you think?
This is incredible. It really was. I mean, in many ways. Let's see, where can I find? Starting out with these three stanzas, old grandfather, barely dead, hanging on by just a thread, can't remember pathways taken, which were followed, which were led. And then, you know, the stanza thereafter, and then one more thereafter that one, so those three stanzas in a row. I'm a big fan of Shinedown, who is a musical artist, and they have a song called What a Shame. And both this poem and that song, in a similarly way, remind me of my of just someone that I used to really look up to. He was of no family relation to me, but he was kind of like I sort of honestly adopted him as like a granddad myself, because he was probably the most old and cantankerous and coolest guy you probably could think of, that goes through two cases of beer and probably about almost three packs of cigarettes a day, ends it with a doobie and a pint of whiskey for at the end of his night, and it does it all over the next day perpetually. But he had a lot of pain in his life, and he was very closely related to Native Americans. In fact, I think he was a quarter, if not a half. And all of that being said, you could tell that he drank and he smoked and he did what he did to mask some kind of pain. And I don't know, man, this kind of touched me. Yeah, and it was a great job. Yeah, your work always impresses me. Thank you for writing.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for the inspiration.
most welcome. Glad to be of inspiration.
Right on.
And, wow, so impressive. Okay, and AP's the next reader, so AP, will you comment for Linda as well, please?
Yeah, look, I don't know what it is. Just sometimes, you know, it's almost like you're channeling the picture and the image. And this was one of those times. It just really felt as if you were inside that image, and that you were talking to it talking to us from that image. It was really, really interesting. And I don't know how you do it, but just sometimes you just put yourself there, and it just there's something very special when that happens, and that was just a brilliant poem.
Well, thank you, AP. That means a lot.
Fabulous comment. And before you read, Linda, thank you. That poem rocked. And again, happy birthday to your husband. And I hope the two of you had a great time tonight.
Yeah, and don't forget, I have a show on the 14th and the 21st at 6 o'clock. I'm sorry, 10 p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock Alaska time.
Open poetry. Yeah. Fantastic. And thank you again, Linda. And
yes, indeed. Over and out.
All right.
Thanks, Linda.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Linda.
And AP, if you would tell us what quote you chose and then read, that would be great.
Yes, this is inspired by the quote, "Destruction pounds against the walls, rarely getting loose before being reined back in." And I actually couldn't help myself but do a little take on one of the images that was given there. So that's me, although it comes from an image that was given. So this is Colorblind by Day, and it goes a little bit like this. Around me lies tombs high of shaded brick, protecting me from a crushing world behind. Until some beauty of the world finds a trick, the reds with the greens remain colorblind. Butterfly fluttering to feast upon my cheek, of pink strangely bold, intense they sway. And as I stare upon this display while weak, clouds recoil barely from a face that is grey. While blood stirs and drips within the walls, its patina dark and its texture richly coarse, as the damage mounts, as leaves they fall, pieces of my body falling not far off source. For the flower signals a renewal by rites, yet attracts bees, which will sharply sting. Beauty it stirs deep in the stars every night, if you can make it through the day by wind.
Awesome. And I think this is the one. Oh, no, that was the other. Yeah, no, it is. Sometimes you write poems and don't realize that by the time you're done, if people looked at your poem and read it backwards, it's just as amazing of a poem. And I don't mean in the palindrome. I mean it's like another whole poem. And I just, like, this one is one of those where if you start it from the last line and read up, it's just as awesome as it was the first time around. And, like, quite often poems backwards don't make sense. So that's really saying something. And I knew right away which art you chose when I saw your drawing, which is really cool. Yours has more, I think with this one, because of the way they're like almost separated, it has like a graffiti art kind of feel, if you know what I mean. And I think that's really cool. And your rhyme and your flow is always really cool. And there's something at the end there, at beauty it stirs deep in the stars every night, if you can make it through the day by wing. And sometimes at the end of the day, when you look up, it can change the way you feel looking at those stars. And in the second stanza, the butterfly fluttering, a feast upon my cheeks of pink, strangely bold, intense, they sway. I always love when I find butterflies in the poetry. So, like, I think that it came out fantastic. And I put that in my comment that I knew exactly what you wrote to when I saw the poem. And I'm sticking that on the board, too, so that people will know what I mean here. Here it is. This was the art by Gail Berry, and then like I said, when AP was done, I could see the woman, the butterfly, and all the pieces in the red art, but in more of a graffiti style, which is really, really cool. So I think you did a fantastic job. And let's see what Infinite Destruction thought.
Oh, man. Where do I start here? Well, I'd say my favorite stanza would be the third. While blood stirs and drips within the walls, its patina dark and its texture richly coarse. As the damage mounts, as leaves they fall, pieces of my body falling, not far off source. I felt like there was an internal destruction going on, like a war, where both sides equally are just as destructive as the other, and I guess it doesn't really matter because in the end, it's the whole being that really takes the weight of it. And nevertheless, this is a beautiful poem from start to finish. Find beauty, a colorful beauty, beautied darkness. As crazy as that sounds, as oxymoronic as that sounds, that's what I'm getting from here, is a colorful beautied darkness. Three words if I were to give it. Great job, AP, and thank you so much.
Pleasure. No, thanks for your words. They were great. Thank you.
Okay, and before I get another comment from the next reader, I want to say hello to Sweet Pea.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Sweet?
Hello. Hello. I'm glad I'm here.
I'm glad you're here, too. And I am about to get another quote for AP. Let me see who we have up here next would be David. David, will you comment for AP, please?
I really like this, AP. The way it's written is just a treat to read, and it's a treat for the eyes, too, because this is a most visual poem, I think. It's due mainly to your choice of adjectives and metaphors and stuff. And the way you wove it all together, it's one of your masterpieces, I think. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really well put together. And to me, it shows a lot of thought. Of course, most of your poetry does to me. But anyway, I really liked this. I thought it was beautiful.
No, thank you, Doug. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome comments, everyone. And AP, I know you have to go, but thank you for calling. Awesome poem.
No, pleasure. Have a great show, Deb, and Infinite, and we'll talk again very soon.
All righty. Love and respect.
Thanks, guys. Okay.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
All right. Now, Dave, your poem is on the board, so if you would tell us the quote that you chose and then read for us, that would be great.
I chose, let's see, it was... quote number 10, and let's see, where is it here? Destruction pounds against the walls, rarely getting loose before being reined back in. I just had a blast, Deborah, writing this this particular poem. It is one of those poems that you write and everything worked on it without a lot. Well, I made a few adjustments to it, but it's called Zora Mathematica. Okay. That's the coolest thing I can say.
Wow.
And it sounds like this. She is Spanish in her origin, her mathematical florigen. She lies still as stone. She lies all alone. Her eyes flit in computations, analytical foundations. She's a child of higher mathematics, countenance in purple kinematics. She sees the square root of negative one, imaginary numbers all undone. Her collection of complex numbers behind her enchanting eyes slumbers. Scarcely breathing, she lies. Her lips flutter. She tries. David, the dark mother asked me, if only you can try to see the square root of eternity, our prime factors of infinity, logarithmic base in light years, the edge of the universe, I fear. God's programs spoken asymptotically as reality approaches infinity. The infinite curve of space-time gently caresses the lines of mankind. Her entropy's tiger on its leash sublimes, only to be turned loose by Father Time. Destruction pounds against the walls, rarely getting loose before being reined back in. She said to me, I cannot control the tiger, this terrible child of H.R. Geiger. Be still its rage, only to be petted, reined in the speed of light, abetted. And then she began to stir. Tears from those limitless eyes were running as rivers down her ashen face, falling upon her breast, vanished without a trace. Cotton candy and gunpowder lilting near, this fragrance to me so familiar and dear. The dark mother spoke to me in sub-octaves, gravitational waves shaking the space-time queen's perspective. David, my man, is she not beautiful? My queen of Mathematica, dutiful. She is the oracle of all arithmetic, answers not to those who would bootlick. Bespoke in her wisdom, not so easy to learn, savage to all those that think it's easy to earn. But then you know all of this, don't you, my man? Red-shifted laughter across the light years never planned. God, I so love my beautiful queen. She's the truest woman has ever been. She loves to tease me. She loves to please me. She shows me things because I believe in her, these things from God in those times that were and in those times that are, as limits approach so near yet so far. These asymptotic parallelisms, near zero, incomprehensible to the anti-hero. Did you get all of this, my man? More queens teasing, you understand. End poem.
I could definitely tell you had fun with it, David. That's for sure. I like the fact that you played on the Spanish origin from her. And I like, where was that? She sees the square root of negative one, imaginary numbers all undone. And that actually made me smile, too, because, like, you had to get your little nod to science in there, which you do quite often, and that's really cool. And a little bit further on, it was sparsely breathing. She lies, her lips flutter, she tries. David, the dark mother, asked me if only you can try to see the square root of eternity. And there's something so, I guess it probably shouldn't be, but if only you can see the square root of eternity seems so romantic when it comes from a conversation about the dark mother. let me see, destruction pounds against the wall, rarely getting loose before being reined back in. You incorporated that into the poem in a really cool way there. She said to me, I cannot control the tiger, this terrible child. It's just so many really – oh, and we have the nod to the cotton candy and gunpowder scent of the dark mother that I don't know, infamous for, famous for, either way works.
She is. Yeah, either way.
And, you know, the more you talk about it, I just get so accustomed to applying the scent to her in my brain. And I bet you that would smell really good because it would be like a burnt marshmallow-ish smell or something, or sugar, burnt sugar. I don't know. I think it would smell really good. I don't know why. Bespoken her wisdom, not so easy to learn. Savage to all those that think it's easy to earn. I just, you had great rhyme. Always great story. As I said, our king of storytelling poets. And then that last stanza there, incomprehensible to the anti-hero. Did you get all this, my man? More queen's teasing, you understand? The little giggle, the little teasing ending there that leaves us with a smile on our faces. I think you did a great job, David. Let's see what Infinite thought of your piece.
So let's start with famous lines from one of my favorite comedians, Bo Burnham. He said, "What is Santa Claus multiplied by I?" Well, I guess that makes him real. it's a mouth joke. But anyway, going to where my favorite lines are, third stanza, she sees the square root of -1, imaginary numbers all undone. And then let's go down to here where it says, the fifth stanza, the square root of eternity, are prime factors of infinity, logarithmic base and light years, the edge of the universe, I fear. Dude, like, if I was influenced by certain illicit drugs and I heard those lines, I would be mind effed, for lack of better terms, for hours. Because, and even still, it's just one of those things. Like, man, that is such a profound concept to take the square root of eternity and then say it that it is the prime factors of infinity. So eternity is a matter of time, whereas infinity is a matter of linear quantity, like some kind of amount. And so when you tried to take the square root of endless time transpiring to the very end, and then equate this down to, well, guess what? Its very basis is founded upon infinity, you know, time transpiring into the infinite. I don't know, man. Them two lines, they were incredible. There's so much in here that I just would love to be able to dig through and speak on. I don't know who the Dark Mother is, but she is very, 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 like, on another level, mentally speaking, in a good way. In a very, very good way. I mean, it's... And I'm just, weird question here, man. Did you know that I'm a math nerd?
No, and I didn't.
I love math. I am a math freak. Too. I can literally do proportions in my head. I can get the integrals of with calculus from an equation. I can integrate it. I mean, I could do math forwards and backwards all in my head. I've literally done long division with non-repeating decimal points as far back as 8 places without losing track of where I was. I love math. And so this is just, man, I'm sorry. I'm nerd raging with you, and I'm nerd raging with the Dark Mother. So just a great poem, man. I absolutely loved it.
Well, thank you. If you stick around and listen to my stuff, you'll find out a lot more about the Dark Mother, because she's in almost all my poems anymore. She's a character invention of mine.
I'm also an amateur astronomer,
so that's where she came from, was the universe. She's actually the queen of the universe, if you want to call it that. She's a spirit, and she likes me because I look at her all the time. So that's where she came from.
That's awesome, though. I mean, I really dig it that you decided to make the Dark Mother like a huge portion of your muse. Like, you personified your muse in some type of way. I guess that's the way I'm seeing it.
Mm-hmm. She always comes into it. She can ask Deb about that.
I was just going to say, he writes about her so often that we all feel like we sort of know her. But not only that, when we did a birthday poem for her, I put her in that poem as well. She's like, you think of Dave, you think of the Dark Mother. If you get a chance, you should check out some of his collection, though, because he's taken her all over the place, and they've done all kinds of things together, and he travels the universe with her. And before I get a comment from Sweet, let's say hello to Purple Chaos. Hey, Chaos.
Hello.
There she is.
I'm here.
All right, and then, Sweet, if you would comment for David and then tell us the quote you wrote, too, and read for us, that would be fantastic.
Okay. First off, The Dark Mother, and I have gone way back, and I love this on two different reasons. One, I love the mathematical, I would say the mathematical essence of the poem, because, it reminds me of the very first poem that got us together, and that was Your Dog Taught Me Time, Space, Continuum. That was the first poem I read about you, and I just thought it was hilarious because it took a dog to even get me to the concept. And through the years I've known you, you've just taken me on a journey, not only with the Dark Mother, but with math and space and, you know, taught me about different stars and everything. So I've learned so much about different things, and I've had to go look them up. And you know, through this poetry and through some of the things you've done, you know, you've taught me a few things. Not that I am a mathematical geek or anything like that. I hate math. I despise it. I'm not into it. But you have definitely taught me, you know, more about space than anybody I've ever known.
Well, thanks. Well, it's been fun. And I'm thankful to have you as a friend, lady.
Love those moments. All right. Thank you so much, David. And Sweet, like I said, you want to tell us the quote and take us away? Her call dropped, so we'll give her a moment to dial back. And... while we're waiting for a while back, Infinite, I thought I would tell you, if you just take a peek into your inbox after the show, I sent you the entire master show list there so that you would have them. And you'll laugh because I keep adding to it because the list keeps growing. So it was an amazing turnout. And it looks like my Sweet's back, so take us away.
It's me. Hello. Hopefully my phone will not die.
Fingers crossed.
Hello.
Fingers crossed, and we're all ready for you.
Okay. So I wrote to every line just because I thought every line could make a poem of itself. So I took the essence of your lines and wrote a poem. So this is Eminence, the Red Rose. Follow the footsteps of a 10-year-old toes into the sand dunes, past the crimson mountain snows. Through the black sands where the scarlet waves brush the door of her eminence, the red rose. Face the dancing shadows. Look into the eyes of the dead before a hand leads you into a death walk. 1, 2, 3, 4, that never ends. Don't hold hands with a little girl that smiles. She slices the throats of her friends. Our eminence descends the devil in red. Don't look into her eyes. Her voice makes us quiver. The weak shrivel up and die. There's a conspiracy to kill her, escape this hell and learn to survive. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Chinese scalps hang on the wall. Little ones screaming under the full moon. Our queen giggled her high tide. She tosses the bodies into the cherry red ocean. And waves a goodbye. 5, 4, 3, 2. She sacrifices the young one to the storm gods, praying to keep her favorite child. I stood alone to the end. As lightning sprayed across the sky, she saw me smile, and I sliced the throat of my friend and home.
Oh, my gosh. It's a good thing. I had to look at my phone to make sure I was muted because I started, in the second stanza, I was cracking up because we have this sweet, warm-toned voice reading us this poem, and we get to stuff like shadows, all right? Look into the eyes of the dead before a hand leads you into death waltz. 1, 2, 3, 4, that never ends. Don't hold hands with the little girl that smiles. She slices the throats of her friends. How vicious, how awesome, how sweet. And then, I like the countdown, too. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Shiny scalps hang on the wall. Little ones screaming. I'm like, oh. And the queen giggles watching. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't. You are our queen of darkness, man. 5, 4, 3, 2. She sacrifices the young. Ones to the storm gods praying. But and then you take us back in that last line. Across the skies, she saw me smile, and I sliced the throat of my friend. I'm like, wow, sweet, you are wicked. And, man, I can't wait to see what you do to the critters in the hive. I swear. My, oh, my. Yeah, this is brilliant. You brought his quotes to life. You gave me the chills. You made me giggle, and I think that you totally gave story to this beautiful art that you chose. So, thank you, my queen. Infinite. What did you think?
Well, first and foremost, I couldn't be more proud of my Sour Patch Kid. First she's sweet, and then she's sour, or vice versa. This is epic. I love it. It makes you happy in the most glorifying way. And I don't know how. Maybe it's the way you read it. But I love the third stanza. Her eminence descends, the devil in red. Don't look into her eyes, for her voice makes us quiver, the weak shrivel up and die. There is a conspiracy to kill her, escape this hell, and learn to survive. I got a Hotel California vibe from that. I don't know. I mean, that's something I felt in there, but I love the wording there, like in the second line of that stanza where you have quiver and shrivel. Not perfect rhymes, but I wouldn't say quote-unquote alliteration, but I don't know if there's a specific word for having, or a specific word for taking sounds of words and they're being similar in nature and combining them in a line. I'm gonna have to come up with a word for that because I do it too. And then I love the near rhyming schemes. I said screams. There probably are some screams. Even if you didn't even rhyme at the end of a line, it's okay because there still was a funness to that involved in reading this, and I really love it. You should be very proud of it, and I'm very thankful that you were inspired by my lines.
Thank you, and I don't rhyme. And once you'll learn that, I'll say it all the time. I don't rhyme.
I was going to say, usually it's by coincidence, or she's writing for, Hatter.
Yeah.
Just saying. Speaking of Hatter, Pee-wee's poem is next, and he can't comment. So, Hatter, will you comment for Sweet? Hatter, are you muted?
Yes, I am. Unmuted. Yeah, this is sick. Everything Devin pointed out, throwing the bodies in the red ocean. Yeah, welcome back. Yeah, your romantic one last week threw me.
I know.
I'm waiting for it. Never came. No, this is very good, sweet.
Thank you, darling.
Great comment, Hatter. And sweet, are you back this week? And if so, you want to push your show?
My show is on Thursday night at 8 or at 10 Eastern Standard Time, and it's all about walking into the fire. It's all about fire. Any way you want to present fire to me. It can be destructive. It can be cleansing. It can be beautiful, watching flames dance. Just, you know, fire can represent passion. It can represent rage. You know, we see fire. We see jealousy. We can, you know, it's so many things to different people and its meaning. So something on fire. Let's start the week. Right now our skies are, you know, full of and all of that. So let's talk about the fire. We didn't start it, but it's always burning.
Looking forward to that. And hang on as long as you can. And I appreciate you calling. And if you want to click on the next link, everyone, and I will push the recording for Pee-wee. And let me see here, before I push that button, I want to see if
Raymond Dean
the quote is down there. Yes, a darkness wouldst indeed devour the night, which is the quote by Infinite Destruction. Along with resistance is perpetually perpetual futility. So, with that said, I'll push play and we will listen to Pee-wee present his poem. And here we go.
Resistance tis perpetual futility. Words that I had once overheard a great man say. Had I brains to my person or any intellect, this moment I should have run away. Chaos, obsidian, black, top-head shades of sun. The darkness would indeed devour the night. Years ago, taking me, my wife, daughter, and son. Atrophied muscles and brain, left me no fight. Touch of the void on your hand is not forgotten. No matter how the miles you see carry you from abyss. Inside it stays depraved and unspeakably rotten. Twisted leeches, black as onyx. Death's lotus kiss. Recounting this hideousness to you, a warning. My carcass rotted and decayed moons ago. Pizza for tormented race who are inhabiting the most atrocious plane to which a man can go. Not leaves beneath waters or ocean trench, most certainly not in a place any would fathom. It lies within the core of each being, his depths. Tempestuous tides inside of psychotic throne. Let longing a slight reprieve this silent shriek, hoping to see light at daytime just once again. Happiness once known, never again shall seek. Lead weights dragging to rock bottom, your sin.
Okay, I don't know if it was me, but at the beginning there with the background, it sort of started off sounding like a music box or a jewelry box where you lifted up the lid and the music played. And I think for some reason for me, it gave like a spooky, haunting feel. Had
disturbing.
I brained? Huh?
It was a little disturbing, even the words when he mentioned
yeah,
the pizza
and I
after
think that,
I bought it. It was like, wow. Ugh.
Yeah,
just,
and he had put something on the board about the wrong music. He loaded the wrong music, but man, it does still work.
Very Hitchcockian.
I say it
very
like sort of, yeah, it was haunting, and it added to the creepiness, and that art that he chose is mega creepy. Touch of the void of your hand is not forgotten, no matter the miles feet carry you from the abyss. Inside it stays depraved and unspeakably rotten, twisted leeches, blackest onyx, death's lotus kiss. Holy cow. Oh, and the next one, my carcass rotted and decayed moons ago. Ugh.
Yeah, then the next line.
Most atrocious plane to which a man can go. It's just, oh, I'm sorry, twisted leech. Oh, recounting the hideousness to you, a warning. My carcass rot. Oh, pizza for tormented wraiths who are inhabiting most atrocious plane to which a man can go. It's like, wow, wicked all the way through.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was creepy good. The images were dark and wow. And even though the music changed a little after the first several lines, you're still struck by the haunt. I was still struck by the hauntingness of the feel with that music box. Like it would be like, I don't know,
yeah.
Pee-wee. Shout if you know what the song was in the background, because I couldn't place it, and usually I can. But, man, I really, really think that between the title, Lead Weight of a Silent Shriek, and then you see...
Yeah, it had that ping of a child's piano, and that's
something.
Eerie. They
yeah.
use that in, like, The Other and The Omen. They use that kind of background
and
music. It's very...
Yeah, and that title goes so well with the art, and like, shoot, I'm getting a little bit nervous because they've been threatening us with a storm all day, and I can hear the thunder starting. So keep your fingers crossed that I make it through this show here. If I disappear, you'll know why. So anyway, Pee-wee, that was really incredible. I think you brought it, and man, haunting. Infinite, what did you think?
I really got a haunting film feel from this as well. I also found a very just emotional depth to these words myself. Let's see, where can I find what I was looking for? This is going to sound maybe far-fetched right here where it says, pizza for tormented race who are inhabiting most atrocious plane to which a man can go. I look at it like this. Pizza is usually a leisurely party. It's one of those things, kind of like, to some extent, a finger food. To say that your rotting corpse, proverbially speaking, would be left to be just the finger foods of tormented wraiths in some particular atrocious, you know, just terrible plane of existence. I don't know. I found a really dark but, you know, deep emotional status in those lines to be put into a situation where you feel like life abandoned you a long time ago. And what was the semblance of life has gone to a place to be considered almost like trashy food to a bunch of demons. Then there's the part of the last stanza, left longing a slight reprieve, this silent shriek, hoping to see light of daytime just once again. I get the whole lead weight of a silent shriek there. Sometimes there's a scream that's coming from you that you don't give actual and audible proclamation, and that scream from you know, the depths of who you are carries such a heavy weight, and you're just kind of left with that, and it's like a burden, and you're just really just kind of sitting around hoping that maybe you'll see something, some kind of revelation that will give you the chance to let that free and to you know, take that burden off of you. You know, I love this poem. You have a great way of wording things, and excellent job. Thank you.
Great comment. And I have Titus up next, and he can't comment. So, David, will you please comment for Pee-wee? David, are you muted?
Yeah, I am. I apologize for that. I'm sorry. This poem really surprised me in its intensity. It was really dark, and in fact, it was so dark that I was trying to figure out exactly where it was going. The third stanza down, touch of the void on your hand is not forgotten, no matter the miles feet carry you from the abyss. Inside it stays depraved and unspeakably rotten, twisted leech is blackest onyx, death, lotus kiss. Wow. You know, it's really stunning in its presentation. I thought he did a good job on it. Although I don't really understand it all that well, but I think it's a pretty slick poem, and certainly got my attention.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And I am looking over here to see what quote. Titus chose two quotes. Shadowy figures ambushed me. And the second quote, my call is feared by all, heard or not, all shall quiver. And if you guys go ahead and click on his link, I shall push play. And here we go.
For better or for worse, for better or for worse, our marriage vows was not intended to be sanctioned while the blessed state between us did arouse all jealousies to hold their rank and file, affecting us no doubt in shape and form, while beauty still remains an age-old myth. It entertains adornments to transform with others. Time was forged to time us with. What purpose was theirs anyway to goad their awful indignations to ferment? The sorry state of sadness will unload. Desire was tinged with pity, well intent. It is for pity's sake to gaze back on. Idyllic lands were placed for you and I, the dream which kept the promise to anon. A couple whose sad last was not to die, though woefully late a saddened tale, for better to have lived and loved at all, for fear far worse adorns a larger scale. Does silence leave alone a death so cruel?
Affecting us, no doubt, in shape and form, while beauty still remains an age-old myth, it entertained adornments to transform with others. Time was forged to time us with. And the other one that struck me, it is for pity's sake to gaze back on. Idyllic lands were placed for you and I, the dream which kept the promise to anon. A couple whose sad last was not to die. There was a loss, a sadness in parts of it. Though woefully late, a saddened tale, for better have lived and loved at all. For fear far worse adorn a larger scale, thus silence leave alone or death so call. There is such a sadness and on her face in the art, and he really captured it. She's sitting there, and the other person obviously was sitting there longer because, like, I can see that the skeletal attributes to that person, okay, affecting us no doubt in shape and form, while beauty still remains age-old myth. And, like, she's sitting there in what would be considered probably her best clothes, sipping some tea. Well, the tea's actually on her lap, and she's got maybe a little bit something else in that cup, for better or for worse. And just that title, you know, you wonder where we're going to go, and you would think for better or for worse it would have been something like maybe the wedding or whatnot. But we obviously have been with this couple for a long time, and for better or worse, they're still sitting there together. And there's a creepiness to that because, like I said, the person in the other chair has got a skeleton face. So that was really wicked. And time has forged to time us with. Gosh, there's just such a creepiness to the thought of that, for better or for worse, and sitting there with that skeleton. I can't get past that. And at the end, for fear far worse adorns a larger scale, does silence leave alone a death's so call? Just, man. And apparently it inspired him more because there's a sestina that comes after that, so I'll have to check that out later. But, like, the poem, the background, his voice, the art, couple them all together, and it came out really awesome. And I don't think that we ever listen to something that he sends in that we're not like, wow, at the end. And I know he's out there working his tushy off on a new job and still managing to pull out these gems for us for the series where we pay respect to each other's words. And I appreciate that a whole lot. And if this big job he's on is doing half as well as his poetry, then he's kicking butt, just saying. The dream which kept the promise to Anon, a couple who sad last was not to die. Now, just the thought of it being sad not to die speaks of sometimes of immortality, where you're sitting there and time's going by and everybody that you know and love eventually dies and you're still stuck there, is where that took me. So there's just a lot of depth in it. And, wow, appreciate it. Tony, thank you very much. Infinite, what do you think?
So, for starters, I kind of fell into this, I don't know, Victorian very early French, maybe, you know, as far back as feudalistic. I got thrown way back in my mindset of what was going on here time-wise in a sophisticated, very sophisticated way. I feel like this lady here was married. She had gotten married, and it was the promise, of course, is for better or for worse. And part of that could also mean, you know, through sickness, obviously through sickness and health, I mean, till death do us part. And I think that that's, to some extent, what happened here, from what I'm reading, the second stanza, affecting us no doubt in shape and form. While beauty still remains an age-old myth, it entertains adornment to transform with others. Time was forged to time us with. You know, part of life is that we age, and sometimes that age brings us, you know, some of us to our knees earlier than others. And I don't know, I just feel like she's sitting here alone in sadness, drinking her beverage and with the memory of her late husband in the background. And I feel like you portrayed this very well in this poem. Though woefully late, a saddened tale, for better to have lived and loved at all, for fear far worse adorns a larger scale, the silence leave alone a death so cold. Is it okay to just, you know, carry on, what I'm getting from there? Is it possible to continue to live And would it have been better to just live alone than to have loved it all and to have made such a promise? But it is sad as woefully late. It's too late at this point for her. Excellent job, man. I really enjoyed it. I actually really enjoy the way you read that, too. Very sophisticated sounding. Thank you so much, and I'm so glad to be of inspiration, you know, not only to this, but perhaps, you know, for obviously furthermore. I'm going to have to take the time to read the second installment. I'm interested for sure to find out where else this goes.
Awesome comment. And Chaos, your poem's up next. Can you comment for Titus first?
I think y'all have said a lot here. I don't know what else I would say. I think y'all said most of what I would say about it.
Not a problem. I know sometimes when he's done, we're like overwhelmed. So if you want to just go ahead and tell us which quote you wrote to and then read, that would be awesome. And I put your poem on the board already.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's like when you're a little asked to comment, it's very difficult because, yeah, I would have said that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the quote I went with is, there lies a place cold and dim, dampened by an immeasurable blanket of tears. And my very long title is, The Darkness Between Moonbeams and the Shadows of the Stars. The flowers that I dried, that won't keep them. The petals will fall like tears. They didn't belong in my night any more than it belonged in their light. Muted colors of the past reflect tears of almost and never. Running down moonbeams that separate my darkness, I look for my starlight through glistening eyes. Knowing comfort that here is where I must be. Here is home, here in the in-between.
I liked it. I love the title, The Darkness Between Moonbeams and the Shadows of the Stars. Muted colors of the past reflect tears of almost and never. Running down moonbeams that separate my darkness, I look for my starlight through glistening eyes. I love the thought of that, the thought of running down those moonbeams that separate the darkness and looking for starlight through glistening eyes, which you're looking and you're amazed and the stars are catching your eyes and they glisten. I thought that was a beautiful, vivid scene there. And at the end, knowing comfort that here is where I must be, here is home, here in the in-between. And I think my word there was woe, because the in-between, what limbo comes to mind when you talk about the in-between, but you're knowing comfort. So the first line of that and the closing of the here and the in-between, the contrast is food for thought itself. And I'm trying not to steal all the lines to leave something for others, but like they didn't belong in my night anymore. So there were so many bits and pieces to this. And if you look at the art, there's different bits and pieces through it. And I kind of knew you when I saw the butterfly wing that you would choose that one. It was meant for you. But still, muted colors of the past reflected tears of almost and never. And those are two really, really sad lines, like the almost is sort of like a what if, you know. I almost did, and there's such a sad thought to almost getting to do something or almost having something, and then the never. I mean, you know, what's more profound than never? You'll never have it, you'll never feel it, you'll never do it. Just, you know, never has such a strong final impact. So with just a handful of little stanzas, you definitely brought a lot for us to think about here, and you brought his quote to life, like dampened by an immeasurable blanket of tears, which just that immeasurable blanket of tears is a very strong image and a very strong metaphor for the emotion that goes with that blanket. So, like, I think you did a fantastic job. Infinite?
So, Chaos, you might be the only one here or listening, or those that may go back and listen, that knows what I'm referring to when I say these things, particular thing to you. When you look at the moon, no matter the distance between the two, sometimes it brings you closer. You find yourself waiting somewhere, sometimes in the in-between, wondering if they're looking too. And going forward, bringing, you know, outlines of this that stood out to me. Muted colors of the past reflect tears of almost and never running down moonbeams that separate my darkness. I look for my starlight through glistening eyes. I guess a long story short, where I'm trying to go with this is that I feel a very closeness to these lines, and, you know, the muted colors of the past, and sometimes your memories intend to be, when they happen, very colorful at the moment, and when looking back, it's you want to remember the brightness, the beauty of it, and the almost and never, so close yet so far. It's a beautiful, beautiful rite. I love it. I love it. That's about the best that I can. As terrible as it sounds, of a terrible comment to sum everything up, I absolutely love this.
Thank you.
Awesome comment.
I'm glad you liked it.
All right, now I'm trying to keep myself muted so that it doesn't mess up the show, but it's thundering so badly now that the my Vada cups, the candle cups are rattling with each thunder crash. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to rewind. Huh?
Can't hear it at all.
That's because I'm keeping muted. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure I don't want to let it ruin the show. So I'm going to read mine, and then I'll have Infinite comment. And then after that, I'm going to try to get the poems in. I'll comment, and Infinite will comment, and we'll move to the next one, because the last thing I want is to get shut out of power and not get to finish all these poems. So I'm going to speed things up just a little. So if you guys would click on mine. And I wrote two quotes, and I incorporated them in the poem. One is, through blood-red eyes, I see you quivering under the daunting full moon. And the other is, my call is feared by all, heard or not, all shall quiver. And the title is, tonight's gourmet meal is you. Here we go. Thick ebony shrouds block tin stars on the sky, covering the neon glitter from the freckled light. The breeze howls and chills the air as it blows, spreading pockets of fog that shadow the night. As the lid from my coffin lifts up, I rise for the hunt. In the dark, my call is feared by all, heard or not, all shall quiver and weep without a place to run. Then, as their adrenaline spikes, blood flows hot. Horned owls screech with the chirping crickets. You play the pulse-pounding symphony for me, fueling thirst with the tempo as you scamper off. Thorns rip flesh as you flee but cannot see. Moonlight marks the sky, then breaks the darkness. It glows, and through blood-red eyes I see you, quivering under this daunting full moon, bloody. Crimson dew spills from you, then drips in view. That sweet perfume pulls me to you for the feast, and I strike, suckling as fangs pierce into the vein. My plump, icy lips wear droplets from your blood, dripping onto moonflower blossoms like red rain. Hellhounds lap the drops from the flower petals, snarling, then sniffing, picking up the scent of you. Canine cuspids shred your torso to maggot food. Now the moonlight glitters on the pooled red dew. End poem.
You hanging around K-Man?
A little bit. What you thinking?
Little silk there, yeah. The moonlight marks the sky that breaks darkness. Very good. Go ahead, comment.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to interrupt you.
That's all right.
Good. So this is a great takeoff of off my lines for one, and it to me kind of seems like a vampiric form of my poem from which the first quote you pulled from comes from. That's a lot of froms, but the original piece is a werewolf piece where the man who turns into the werewolf talks to you at first about, you know, the circumstances of what is about to transpire. It transpires, and then the listener becomes the first victim. So the same vibe I feel through this, and it's got such a beautiful imagery here, horned owls screech with the chirping crickets, just picking the type of owl, not just any, not just an owl screech, but a horned owl screech. I love the alliteration, the pulse pounding symphony. Let me see. I found that there was another place in here that I loved that I found the alliteration. Snarling and sniffing, picking up the scent of you. It had some of these lines. I felt like a rhythm was in there too. Whether I don't know if you meant that or not, but it's a great ride. Thank you so much. I'm trying to sift through everything. It's just so hard to pick out my favorite parts, but it's a beautiful poem. Great job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How many more you got?
Quite a few.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's just – are you able to read tonight, Hatter, or do you need me to read for you?
I think I can read, yeah. In fact, just don't worry about mine until we don't run out of time or you cut off. Just keep going with everybody else's.
No. Read yours, please.
Okay. All right. All right, it goes like this. Shadowy figures ambushed me. That's the quote also. It goes like this. I led myself inside the haunt, thinking I could survive the night. Did not take me very long to see that something was not right. Creep across the cold, cold room floor from the corner above the door, sits in concert in shadowed skins, judging others for popular sins, preaching words that act like verbs, but listen to how it's read. Simply put, I knew it could, so I pretended I was dead. It was dead. Sorry.
Great read.
Mm.
I led myself inside the haunt, thinking I could survive the night. It did not take me very long to see that something was not right. I like that it sets the tone, and you want to know what was not right. What was it? Creep across the room floor, the corner above the door. I got to leave something for Infinite, but I like how you took us down. Simply put, it knew it could, so it pretended it was dead. And I'm like, oh, no. When I saw that at the end, I think that the photo's creepy. I like the shadowy figure ambushed me. So we have this figure in the corner that's going to get you. Cool brevity, Hatter. What you think, Infinite?
Thank you.
So I got this whole vibe from here that it's pretty much I don't know, this is going to sound kind of maybe far-fetched, but led yourself through a room or a group of people or perhaps a portion of society that you knew that from who you were, who you are, you would be judged and you would hear harsh words like being preached to you. And so you tried to creep along the floor that you perhaps would not be seen. Choosing areas to hide in, to pass through. And in the end of it, the word still managed to get to you, and you just pretty much was left with the only thing that could be said, and that's that I have to pretend that those words are dead. And I don't know. I mean, this is my take on it. I think it's a great piece. I felt a very haunting nature to this. It's great. I really, really like it. Awesome.
Great.
Thank you so much.
All right. The next poem is by Kay, and she sent us a audio clip. Before I put on her and Stephen's poems, I thought I would say that at A Poetic Slice of Life on the 5th, they're having a sci-fi special at 7:30, and it's Stephen's birthday is on the 6th, so they're going to celebrate it on the 5th with the sci-fi stuff. His favorite movies are Star Trek movies, and this is The Wrath of Khan. And anybody who hangs around with us knows that usually when you hear that Khan yell, Hatter and Stephen are both in the room at the same time. So, you know, all these little endearing things. But there are quotes, and there's a clip from the movie. And it's, like I said, a chance to wish Stephen a happy birthday. So check them out. Wednesday is the 5th, right? Let me double check. Yes, Wednesday is the 5th with Stephen and Kay at A Poetic Slice of Life. And then on Thursday at 8 o'clock, Sky is doing Christmas in July as a Star Wars holiday special. So she also has a trailer to look at, and there are some quotes you can choose from the Star Wars holiday special. So that's 7:30 Wednesday, 8 o'clock Thursday, A Poetic Slice of Life. And on that note, please click on Kay's link, and I'll push her sound clip. And here we go.
Epiphany's Absentia Awoken by Kay. Wind brushes cheek, hand of time, common hair. Hollowness broke the dam and feeling. On one's knees, wolf winter in the bones. Bites the chill of autumn, aching for the guards, the chandeliers to silence. Its color in fallen leaves, sweeping, as it has no afghan of armament upon sleep. The lids close. Open the window of complexity to mirror the stairs. A breath of stills and strings of dress stacks. as a coal furnace brined within are tested and replaced and wardrobed clean. End poem.
Cool. I'm looking at that art that she chose there with the face looking through that. It looks kind of like a broken mirror, and there's a face coming out of it. So it really freaks me out. And Epiphanies, Absentia, Awoken, which is a brilliant, brilliant title for sure. I like No One's Knees with Winter in the Bones Bites the Chill of Autumn Aching for the Guards of Chandeliers to Silence. The Guards of Chandeliers, for some reason, that even sounds creepy, you know? It has no Afghan of armament upon sleep, the lids closed. And it might sound weird, but if I didn't have a blanket or an Afghan or something, I'd have a hard time falling asleep. So to fall asleep without it, without that blanket, that little piece of security, I don't know. I do know. It's because from watching so many horror flicks and stuff with my dad, and we watched a lot of vampire movies, and I always thought that as long as I fell asleep with that blanket tucked under my ear, that they wouldn't be able to bite my neck, silly girl. But that's what it made me think of there. So it was a little bit extra creepy for me. And on that closing line, as the coal furnace brined within it tested and replaced and wardrobed clean. And there's furnaces, to me, are also another really creepy thing between the fact that during the day you wouldn't even pay attention, but at night the noises that they can make can scare the bejesus out of you. So it's just like there were these little nuances throughout there that added to the quote she chose, shadowy figures ambushed me. And here we are with the lack of an Afghan and with the coal furnace. I mean, just little nods to things that come out of the shadows, which is also speaking back to that picture. So brilliant title, great brevity, and it had a nice spookiness. Thank you for the audio, Kay. Appreciate it. And Infinite, what did you think?
So, I got a feeling of like of all the emotions and you know, maybe images of, you know, if you're in a haunted house. The part wind brushes cheek, hands of time combing hair. You know, that you feel that touch. It may just be wind, but is it really brushing across your cheek? Hands of time being maybe a very, very old spirit, really, is what it is. Maybe, you know, your hair feels like something's running through it. The hollowness that makes you feel, it broke the dam. With winter in the bones, that cold chill that comes with maybe coming in contact with, you know, a spirit from, you know, a different time, and, you know, it bites the chill of autumn, aching for the guards of chandeliers to silence. You're the guards of chandeliers to silence. You know, that I think of when you look at a chandelier that has maybe a globe over each light. And you're kind of hoping that all of that those globes would light up so that, you know, maybe you can put an end to the silence, you know, with light, you know, you feel like the darkness is where the spirit is able to roam. So if you shed light on it, it'll help guard you from, you know, those feelings. So when you open the window of complexity to mirror the stairs, a breath is stilled in strings of dressed stacks. Kind of get this whole vibe of, you know, you open the window maybe to, you know, be the, you know, some kind of, you know, a breath of fresh air that, you know, that maybe could help you, you know, just kind of calm down, but it does nothing really. you look in the window and, you know, you feel like something's staring back at you in the reflection of it, and it stills your breath. Rather than giving you a fresh breath of air, it literally stills the one that's in your lungs at the moment. That's just what I'm getting from here is a great right. You know, cryptic. And I mean that in a punny sense. You know, tales from the crypt. Anyway, very great right. Thank you so much for you know, writing this, and I'm glad to have been inspiration.
Awesome comment, and I am grabbing Stephen's poem now because I just realized that I accidentally posted K's twice, so I'm putting Stephen's on there now, and he also sent us a recording, so here is his link. Go ahead and click on that, and I'll push play.
The Swamps Behind the Eyes by Stephen 76. Of faceless grins and glowing heads that float within the skull, dead furs that ferry defunct log ride atop the sinking hull, door slabs rot upon the surface of the stagnant tarn, while red dots flurry, reducing vision of unsullied yarn. End poem.
Wow. Infinite, I don't know if you know this, but a while back started doing these four-line poems. And the four-line poems, he kept scoring tens with. And I know how hard they are because I've done one. I kept trying to do them, and I couldn't. And then once I finally did one, I stopped trying because they're much harder than you think to come up with a complete poem in four lines and score a 10 as well. So bravo for that. I like the title, The Swamp Behind the Eyes. If you look in that picture, in that, like, between the what looks like twisted tree trunks, you can see that face there, really creepy, like the swamp monster or something. But I like a faceless grins and glowing heads that float within the skull. Dead flurs that ferry defunct long ride atop the sinking hull. I mean, really great descriptions there, and creepy, the faceless grins. Glowing heads. I mean, just like I said, what he packs into these four lines really blows me away. Oh, and I forgot to say that the quotes he chose are, shadowy figures ambushed me, and such darkness wouldst indeed devour the night. And I think that he spoke really well of that with these faceless grins the very defunct long ride atop the sinking hull. So, like, you might have caught that ferry, but you know, it takes you to the thoughts of the River Styx, but now it's sinking, which is a creepy thought. You know, you're going to sink down there in that swamp, and there's these faceless grins and glowing heads. So in four lines, he absolutely haunted the art and added to the quote. So another excellent four-liner, Stephen. Wow. What do you think, Infinite?
Started speaking on difficulty of writing to certain, you know, a certain parameter. I have a very hard time doing that myself in different ways. I mean, I have this certain theme of the way I write. I mean, it's kind of hard for me to write a poem that doesn't include archaic you know, language use. It's hard for me to write a poem that doesn't rhyme. And it's also hard for me to write a poem that isn't a story. Those three factors play a major part in the difficulty for me to write something outside the scope of those three things that can include those three. So to be able to write a poem with the intention of scoring a concrete 10, and in only four lines, is an incredible feat. in itself, then taking in what is actually said whilst also accomplishing that here is just, it's really, really profound. I'm not sure where this quote or idea comes from on the part of what I'm about to say is, but so much can be said in fewer words than in an amalgam of them. And that is no different here. A faceless grins and glowing head that float within the skull. I like the creepiness of it. I like the hauntingness of that. And then, you know, it's kind of like you're already on this this trip through maybe this river. You're trying to get somewhere, and here you've gone to this certain portion of the river that is dark and sinister. Maybe there's, it's a swampy-ish area, and now, oopsies, my boat is sinking. I'm about to be trapped with these faceless grins and glowing heads. And it's just, it's one of those things, like there's a fear-inducing there. And you're staring into the eyes of, the red dots of the eyes, maybe that are in the darkness and you're not sure what it is. Or maybe you're looking into the woods and you see something staring back at you. And, it's incredible, right? So much to really unpack here. If you want to dig deep into a poem like this with only four lines, it requires you to dig deep into what you've read. It's definitely mesmerizing. It's incredible. Thank you so much, Stephen, and great job. And I'm glad to be of inspiration to you.
Awesome comment. Okay, the next link that's on the board is by Jenny the Deep, and she also sent us a sound clip. And I'm looking here. The quote is, and I'm not sure I'll make it out of here alive. I'm still waiting for hope to arrive. So click on that, and I'm about to push play.
Sensing betrayal, your lies fall on deaf ears. You lost your senses, along with all of our respect. They don't believe anything you say now. When I am with you, I see red. Why did you have to start telling all of your lies? Seeing many red flags makes me want to go blind. I hate all these secrets of mine. Yes, I spoke up and confessed what we did. I never went as far as you, but still enabled you for way too long. Seeing, touching him all over. Euphonic lust embraces, stripping me of your dignity. You're like a politician anymore. Cacophony sounds, seeing my ears, hearing you betray him, dazzling disguise, touching. Gloomy, I am feeling, smelling his stench on you. I know it's none of my business, but you made it mine, being a witness to the rancid actions you did. You left us feeling lost, crying daily, gloomy. Savor what you have now. Don't throw it away yet. I'm done helping you with your lies. Your fishy aroma is suspicious. Family and friends know he is not to savor. End poem.
Oh my, oh my. Take a peek at the photo that I put up on the chat wall. That is the art that Jenny chose to go with her words, which it went very well. Sensing betrayal, your lies fall on deaf ears. You lost your senses along with all our respect. They don't believe anything you say now. And, you know, sometimes once if you make yourself out to be a liar, once you get caught in that tangled web that you weave, it tends to lead people to not believe anything you say. And you know, you have nobody to blame but yourself for the way you are perceived. And that's what struck me there just from that title. And then when we got, like I said, when we got to all, you lost all your respect telling all your lies. That's where it took me. The stanza, second to the last, gloomy, I am feeling, smelling his stench on you. I know it's none of my business, but you made it mine, being a witness to the rancid actions you did. You left us feeling lost, crying daily, gloomy. And I like how each stanza gives us something to chew on, your lies, and then it tells us about those lies and ends with those lies. And the second one, it starts with seeing the red flags and then ends with for way too long seeing and touching and gloomy and savior. I don't know if this is a particular style. I should have looked at the bottom just in case, but I really, really like how each stanza starts and ends with the same word or words, like each one is a little full circle of a story, and then with the details like the stench that you smell and the lies that have us losing respect for you, period. I think that she did an excellent job with this. And I'm noting there on the side that she entered this in a contest as well, and it's a gold winner. Congratulations on that gold. Impressive, right? And thank you for the recording, too. What you think, Infinite?
1 second. I was trying to eat some chips, and I was hoping I'd get by with one last one, but you caught me. Definitely, to break this down, I'm getting this idea that there's somebody that you know that has done something, but so have you. You stopped early. That person kept going. And just like a lie continues to grow, the more you have to tell it. And so it's, once lies get caught, then somebody eventually quits believing everything you say. They don't know if what you're saying is true or not. And then you know that there was even lies told to you by this person. And you were, to some extent also willingly let the wool be pulled over your eyes. But once you were freed of it, you realized that there was some really uncouth things going on. There were some really terrible things going on. But, you know, I'm kind of stuck in this. I'm kind of stuck in this situation, but just so you know, I'm done. I'm out. I'm pulling out. I'm done with your lies. I'm done with being a part of your schemes, a part of all the things that you're doing behind closed doors. You know, you can keep those behind closed doors because nobody's going to believe you if you try to defend yourself. A great job here. I like the whole, like, construct of the way the poem is structured. I like, you know, like Deb said about the whole starting line, ending line of each stanza being identical. It's a very, very, very good poem. I really, really like it, and I definitely understand why it won gold. You should be very proud of this, and I'm thankful that my lines were able to inspire such a great write. Great job.
Awesome comment. And the next one that's on the board is by Gerald E. Green, and he sent us a SoundCloud as well. And I am looking on the board here to see if the quote is mentioned. before I push play, just to check and see. Gerald is, did not say. Okay, so if you just click on his poem, I will push play.
Impetus, written and read by Gerald Green. That July morning was not unlike the others, as dew evaporated before the sun came through my studio's dirty window, beginning two brief hours of freedom to paint before heat became a burden. Days like this oppress with blankets of repetition, smothering creative flames with boredom and silence, in this old factory where envelopes were once made and workers responded to countless orders of angry men. This is an unhappy place, a prison for emotion's vapor, holding tight to echoes of bitter words and fury's froth, silently steering all within its walls to share its fruit, partaking of and joining what was yesterday. I'm unaware of hidden danger, climb the creaky stairs that reach the third floor annex, divided into studios where privacy provides the ambiance that artists crave, and models feel for pose and revelation's harsh demands. I stand before what yesterday seemed beautiful, a face of splendor, radiating, captivating innocence while hiding motive. Have I been deceived? Is this the cause of rage that beckons me to act? Now I see, I clearly see deception's signature and hear her voice enticing me to add to and embrace her legacy. Mix my evra, stir it in this cauldron of what was. I hesitate, not to reconsider, but calculating how to answer Kohler's call that started as a whisper yesterday, and now is blaring in my ear, convincing me to act before it is too late. Before it is too late. In desperation, born of vitriolic's heritage, I grasp my newest brush, the one I stole last year, and dip it into blackest black, and smear her face with burgeoning delight. End poem.
Ooh. Wow. The details here, like the creaky stairs and my. Okay, he's got this painting, and I like how he's in his studio through the dirty window, and he takes us on this journey, starting with the fact that the dewdrops, it's July, so the dewdrops are evaporating before the sun even comes out. So you imagine that it's a really hot day. He's in the studio, and it, like, the windows are dingy, and he's at his easel, and it's somewhere towards the middle-ish. This is an unhappy place, a prison for emotion's vapor, holding tight to echoes of bitter words and fury's froth, silently steering all within its walls to share its fruit, partaking of and joining what was yesterday. Really great stanza. I stand before what was down further. I stand before what was yesterday seemed beautiful, a face of splendor, radiating, captivating innocence while hiding motive. Have I been deceived? I love that. And then we take a turn, and there's a sort of a suspense in his voice as he read for us. Really drove it. I was on the edge of my seat waiting to see where he was taking us there. Now I see, I clearly see deception's signature and hear her voice enticing me to add to and embrace her legacy. Next stanza, I hesitate not to reconsider but calculating how to answer. It's like, is it fear that's making you worry? What should you say? Like a hauntingness. You don't know what's going on. a whisper of yesterday, and now it's blaring in my ear, convincing me to act before it's too late. Before it's too late. Like I said, there was that suspense that was building up in his voice. And I love the last three lines there. I grasp my newest brush the one I stole last year and dip it into the blackest black and smear her face with burgeoning delight. Like, if this is the only way I can get back at you, I'm going to have at it. And then scribbles over the paint or with the black paint over her image. I really love the approach he took here and how, like, he used the free verse to drive us in and captivate us with his words every bit as much as he described her as her face, her beauty as being captivating. I think this came out really great. And, of course, he's got a great reading voice, so his audios are always fantastic, too. Thank you, Gerald. And what do you think, Infant?
This is a very, very beautiful ride in my mind. I see this painter. He rented this studio with intention of it being where he would, you know, create and display, collect art as a painter, you know, would, much like a poet has their notebook. And in that situation, you know, rented this, the building was once a place that was utilized for a, you know, factory type setting. And now it's just kind of old and dusty and dirty, and the window panes are, you know, maybe stained by the production fumes. If you have this, you know, this beige light coming through, and you find this muse, and for some reason, this muse happens to be this perhaps beautiful woman, and you paint this beautiful woman on this canvas, and then you realize that she's a liar. You don't even have to know who she is, and it's the fact that you don't know who she is You feel like you've been deceived. And so in that moment of deception, of realization of I have been deceived by this so-called succubus, that I'm going to just try to black her out. I got to get rid of this. I don't know what this is, but this is infecting. This is infectious to my muse. This is infectious to what I normally am capable of painting here. And I've got to get rid of this quick, because if I try to paint anymore, the sweltering heat's only going to make my angst, my anger, even worse. And this is what I'm getting from this. I really, really dig into here. Let me see, where's the lines? This is an unhappy place, a prison for emotions, vapor, holding tight to echoes of bitter words and fury's froth, silently steering all within its walls to share its fruit, partaking of and joining what was yesterday. Like I said, it, you know, you've got this place, it feels like it's a prison, like you're being contained. And, you know, you can almost feel maybe the residual, you know, hateful aura of the bitter words and the raging fits that these men, like you said, were angry men, were hollering out countless orders, and all of that combined into this atmosphere that it just, it creates this, almost this ambience of studio is not exactly, again, a happy place. Anyway, beautiful ride here. Thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, if you were inspired by any particular one of my lines, I'm very grateful to be that source from which you pulled. Thank you so much.
Awesome comment. And I have the next one on the board. And if you take a look on the chat wall, with the link, I also included the picture that he wrote to, and I am headed here to tell you, just in case I didn't look at the bottom, but here it is. Okay, and he chose, quote, eight, such darkness was indeed devour the night. So go ahead and click on Phil the Poet, and I will push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called The Old Man of the Forest. The old man of the forest mummified to a tree, pleading with the breeze, please set me free. Rooted in the soil of charcoal and ash-covered dreams, tears fall from the sockets of splintered bone streams. Weathered face with fixed grin behind sorrowful eyes, the graveled path where the midsummer lies. Leaves strewn around lay a poet's fading inspiration, sinew and bone trying to escape the dehydration. Arms drifting like branches of an old oak tree, held up by the blistering cold wind of simplicity. A voice that silently cries out in anguish and pain, in the morning leaves a carbon copy silhouetted stain. A flash of lightning scares the reluctant ghost, frees him from the shackles of his living host, dissolves into the earth, leaving a skeletal remain. No hot summers or biting winters to entertain. Just a haunting melody drifts through the woods. The past is buried in the mildew of futuristic floods. Under the dancing feet of the excited children he lies. The wind moans, echoing his lamentable cries. End poem.
My goodness. The Old Man of the Forest. Great title. It fits that art. And so does the second stanza there. Weathered face and fixed grin behind sorrowful eyes. The graveled path where the midsummer lies, leaves strewn around like a poet's fading inspiration, sinew and bone trying to escape dehydration. I like the rhyme there with inspiration and dehydration, but I really love that line, leaves strewn around like a poet's fading inspiration. I think that line is absolutely brilliant. And the second to the last stanza there, a flash of lightning scares the reluctant ghost, frees him from the shackles of his living, dissolves into the earth, leaving a skeletal remain. No hot summers or biting winters to entertain. But the thought of the lightning being so bold and vivid that it scares a reluctant ghost, it must be a one hell of a storm, I'd say. I think that the details here really, they go perfectly with the thought of the darkness devouring the night. So we're in the dark and it's getting worse and worse, and then there's this bold light that scares the ghost. I mean, I think that that's brilliant, and I can't say enough about the great rhymes that he chose here, but I am totally still blown away by that leaf strewn around like a poet's fading inspiration. Phil, when you listen, I think that that line all by itself would be a really great prompt for a contest or something. Just saying, I think you did a fantastic job with this, and I appreciate the recording. Thank you so much. Infinite, what did you think?
So I got kind of like a cursed man. He's to this tree, and for how long? He's kind of at this point. He's no longer a man, and he's no longer. He's not necessarily the tree, but he's a part of it, and obviously he is a ghost of who he once was, and it tells you, you know that there was a story before him, but this is where it is now, and that he's sad. He's sad that he is stuck in a life that is stagnant. You know, maybe this even could tie back to just an old man who's aging with time, feeling like he can't he can't move any further. He can't go nowhere further in life than where he is. And, you know, but going back to maybe this is a mythical tale, you know, where you stayed here, again, where the lightning scares the reluctant ghost, but it frees him from the shackles of his living host, dissolves into the earth, leaving a skeletal remain, no hot summers or biting winters to entertain. The tree was struck down by the lightning, you know. It was, you know, yeah, he was split from it, but left to lie in the dirt just as the tree would, and would rot to, you know, to the end. But he was freed. You know, if the tree dies, then, you know, of the one that he's cursed to be stuck to, perhaps then he is freed from that, you know, that curse. And now it's like now all you hear is the haunting melody of his cursed story drifting through the woods. You know, not no one will know whatsoever that he was there, who he was, where he was going or not going in this situation, and the dirt upon which he fell to is now being danced upon by children. He's just, well, what it remains of him is now nothing. And that's a scary thought, to become aged, to grow old and become stagnant in life, and then to be freed from the shackles of life. You know, to pass away, but then to be left for, then your memories are left now, but you're hoping that maybe to some extent someone would remember you, but as time goes on, and maybe even shortly thereafter, you're forgotten by the just transpiring of time. I think there's just two different stories that could be told, or it is being told from this. It was a great write. I love it. I love the rhyming and everything else in between. Great job. I'm glad to be of inspiration.
Great comment. Okay, we have three left, and they require readers. I have Angels on the board. I'll read for her. And the quote that she chose, see here, I'm not sure if I'll make it out of here alive. I'm still waiting for hope to arrive. Also, shadowy figures ambushed me, and such darkness would indeed devour the night. And also, I found myself praying, pleading for escape from this sin. And her poem is called My Demise by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Midnight. In alternating shades of ebony and onyx, the chime of the bell tower clock permeates the charcoal ash atmosphere of the castle halls. I shiver like a leaf blown by an untamed wind, not from cold, but from sheer bone-chilling fright. I'm not alone. Shadowy figures ambushed me upon entrance to this gunmetal gray abode, hungrily feasting their demonic eyes on my soul. Such darkness was indeed devour an innocent. I found myself praying, pleading for escape from this sin, this hellish coven I have awakened. I'm not sure if I'll make it out of here alive. I feel the flames of hell itself trying to incinerate me. Somewhere in the inky blackness, the devil laughs maniacally. End poem. Ooh, she went deep and dark with this one. I like it. You know, we call Angel the queen of romance, which she does very well, but I'd have to say that she dabbled in the darkness quite incredibly here, and I'm noticing that she entered it in a darker, scary, Polish type poem and won the gold for it, which is easy to see why, because this is like creepy good. She also won another award for another contest, so as normal, it's her MO to show up with poems that are multi-award winners. Angel, this is wicked good. I like when you dabble in the darkness, dear heart. And then, as always, it was my honor to be your reader. And I think that between the art and Infinite's words, that you really brought this to life. Bravo. Infinite, what do you think?
Oh, man, I love this. It's like a creepy, oh, a spine-chilling tale of you know, running through this this castle at night, and something sinister has been awakened, and is chasing you, looking at you, watching you, and you feel like it's only a moment away from it consuming you. The way that you ended it, too, is the devil laughs maniacally. I like that. You feel like, you know, that Satan himself is laughing as you are afraid and running, and, you know, maybe you feel futilely running along that path. I really, really dig midnight in alternating shades of ebony and onyx. Man, I mean, I tried to picture there being some kind of difference between ebony and onyx, and then placing that as a, you know, a means of, you know, describing an atmosphere of where you are. And man, that is so powerful. It's blinding almost, and yet there's some kind of difference. You know, there's differences. You see in the darkness, but it's so dark that there's almost no way that you can tell where you are. And man, to have something chase you through that is just, that's incredible, eerie. Had Deb not said that you were profoundly known for writing romance, I would say that you, in your own right, I would have said you're a great dark writer. So, if you haven't done much dark writing, I would thoroughly encourage you to continue. This is an excellent write, excellent dabble in the darkness and, you know, eeriness, scariness going on there, sinister even. You got a pen for it. I would definitely look forward to reading more. Obviously not just any darkness writes you come up with, but I would look forward to reading what you got going on with the romance side, because she says you're the queen of it. So, anyway, I'm very thankful that I could inspire you with my lines, and this is a great and definitely deserving of a gold somewhere, and obviously you got it. So, great job. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And, yeah, I totally concur with what he said, Angel. You should dabble in the darkness more often. You did it very well. Okay, we have two more to go, Infinite. The next one on the board is by L.G. Mace. And your quote that she chose to write to is, I'm not sure I'll make it out of here alive. I'm still waiting for hope to arrive. And the poem is Soldier by Sword and Lion Spirit by L.G. Mace. And here we go. I am a brave warrior. By the sword I live. Great Lion Spirit, my saving grace. To the coming battle, to the winds of destiny I'm about to face. Inside this cave, I pray for my strength and courage to hold. When they made me one of a kind, they threw away the mold. The battle outside this cave I await. Bloody cry of death seeps through the walls and comes to my ears. I pray to God to embrace me and lay low my fears. I am a Roman centurion that pride runs through my noble sword veins. My fellow soldiers battle dying on swords and axes. Death on the battlefield reigns. Let the lion that is my spirit endow me with courage to the final bloody end. The battlefield is in such commotion. You can't tell the difference between enemy and friend. I sent a fellow centurion for reinforcements. His escape to contrive. I'm not sure I'll make it out of here alive. I'm still waiting for hope to arrive. End poem. Well, I think that she really took the nuance of going to war when there was just swords and axes and the thoughts that might have been in the mind of that warrior waiting to go out there, waiting to see what's next, wondering if you're going to get out, wondering if the person that you sent for backup will even make it that far, and then praying for that fighter, that lion inside of you to come up and help you make it through this. It speaks to longing for the strength it takes to get through any kind of hurdle as you go, you know. LG, I think you did a really great job with this. I was honored to be your reader, and I appreciate you for supporting the show. And let's see what Infinite thought.
This is an excellent story. I see a soldier gripping tight to his sword, feeling the need to jump out there and help his brethren, but feeling, you know, a comfort of the safety of where he is currently. And yet, you know, he knows he sent somebody for help. And, you know, you're wondering, am I that help right now? Do I need to wait on them? And if I do and they don't come, how many lives could I have saved? And, you know, you got this, you have this Roman centurion pride that, you know, you feel the need to hold on to. And, you know, yet it's holding you back, the fear of, you know, death, which you know is permeating out there. It's just in a superfluous amount that you just really, you know that if you go out there that, you know, there's only a 1% chance that you might survive. And you're left with, you know, a question. Should I stay or should I go? And while you stay, you're hoping that something will arrive to make a difference. I love the way you took the line that I had, and you actually created a story with it of its own, and it's an excellent poem all the way through. Thank you very much. Glad to be of inspiration.
Great comment. And if you take a peek at the chat wall, I also just added the art that she wrote to. That shows you that soldier with the lion in the background. So between your quote and that art, she totally brought it to life there. Okay, now, I saved Wayne for last just because I don't know what happened. He was here at the very beginning, and usually if he has to go, he puts a message on the board. I didn't see one. And then I thought maybe he left to try and make us a SoundCloud. But I I'm going to turn around and read for him. And he also wrote, "To such darkness would devour the night, and I found myself praying, pleading for escape from this sin." And this is called Battle for Truth by Wayne Gent. And here we go. My inner being tires from the controlling fight. Evil resides inside, blocking the righteous light. Fusion cripples belief, serrating what's right. Such darkness would indeed devour the night. I found myself praying, pleading for escape from the sin. Time to quit delaying. Battle for truth must now begin. To the death, destroy or perish, evil must be tame. My spirit's engaged within the confines of my life's frame. Strength from illuminated stars slammed evil on its back. With reverberate of evil broken, honor rides dignified track. The life of my past lies in a murky, unworthy haze. But now my future has hope for bright, sunny days. And poem. Okay, for starters, I was a little bit worried about reading for Wayne because he is one of our kings of alliteration. And sometimes when I try to quote afterwards what I like about his poems, I get tongue-tied trying to repeat them. So I was relieved that there wasn't a whole lot so that I didn't butcher his poem. That aside, I really loved some of the visuals here and the message, like the evil resides inside, blocking the righteous light. Such darkness that would indeed devour the night, and I find myself praying, pleading for an escape. I like how he pulled in the your quotes and flawlessly threaded them through his poem. And in that last stanza there, strength from illuminated stars slammed evil on its back. And it's just like the thought of that, that the beautiful stars twinkling in the sky and them having the power to slam evil and knock it on its back. And then he totally turns around these sins and brings it back to the past lies and the murky unworthiness is in the past, and now the future has hope for bright sunny days. I think that in just three stanzas, he brought that art and your words to life, but he also did it in a full circle where we might have been starting out in a fight with evil, but we ended up with hope for the future for sunny days. And the full circle poems are kind of my favorites because it takes us all the way around through those sins, through that darkness, and into hope and light. So I think you did an excellent job. What do you think, Infinite?
I definitely, I feel like I've, been through this situation personally. Like, you feel in like you have this internal struggle, internal battle of, what's right and what's wrong. You feel like you have wrongness in your heart. You have this evil in your heart, and you feel this drive to get rid of it. You're praying here. He's pleading for it to be gone. And so instead of just waiting for it to be gone, you've decided to take arms against the evil within yourself. And so, there's a battle for the truth obviously going on here. And, truth triumphs. We know this from the last last line, a future being hope for bright and sunny days. You've won the battle against the evil, and now you are, you're on this path of honor and truth that you want to go forward in, and you're in full belief that with this idea of where you're going now, and not letting the weight of evil hold you back anymore, that it's gonna bring a bright future. So Deb was saying about the whole, filled with darkness, fighting through it, and then coming to that light. It's a beautiful thing, to win that battle. And, a lot of people, they've their whole lives and still feel like they haven't, beaten it. And, sometimes they do, and then, evil finds its way back and is trying to attack you again. I completely understand where you're coming from. And in that artwork where I see it looks like, obviously, there's the truth defeating evil, and yet they look like they're melded into one. So where at one point it was, you were completely, one the same, where evil was, evil and truth were once one being, but now truth is separating itself away from that evil and defeating it. So great interpretation of the art. And I think you definitely used those lines very well. And I am glad to be a inspiration to you.
Awesome comment. And if you take a look on the board, I added the link for next week's show. We will be continuing on with our series of featuring our other poets. And next Monday night, we will be featuring the words of Purple Chaos. This is the topic that we had to carry over because of some scheduling conflicts. So be sure to check at the bottom to see. A lot of people have already written and chosen their art. So double check, make sure you're already there. And if not, there's still plenty of art to choose from. Just please try to remember that in this particular one, the poet, Chaos, would prefer that you just listed her quotes in your author's notes and not incorporated them into your poems. And that's been on there since the first day. So if you did incorporate them, please check it out and see if you can figure out a way to not put them there at her request. There's 10 great quotes, and the artist is Jessica Alain. And I'm looking forward to that show. I think I finished mine, too. So, a lot of us have their poems sitting and waiting. So a little less, quote, homework for you. And tomorrow night we do not have a show because we want everyone to get the opportunity to go out and watch the fireworks. So the show for Pretty Bird will be on the 18th. Just keep an eye out until she puts her topic up. And other than that, don't forget to join Sweet Pea on Thursday night at 10 Eastern as she jumps into the fire. And before I do my closeout, did you want to say anything, Infinite?
I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who wrote that was inspired by my lines. A lot of beautiful poetry tonight, and, some of it powerful, some creepy, some dark, some light, and, it was a great thing to be able to experience others being, inspired by my lines. I feel honored. And to next Monday, where we'll be able to honor Purple Chaos, I've written for her. And I'm so thrilled that you have this going on, Deb, where, we all get to honor one another and our and each of our works and use that to be a muse to each other. And this is a lot of fun. It was definitely very enjoyable. And I just want to say thank you to everyone that wrote, and thank you, Deb, for putting this on.
My pleasure. No, I agree. For a while there, I was looking up song lyrics and pieces of poems, and I thought, hey, wait, why don't I go and see if I can't get some inspiration from the other poets? And in all honesty, it's turned out to be one of the best series that I've done in the 4 years that we've been here because of the fact that we are writing inspired by each other, And I'd like to thank you and all the poets for allowing me to use your words as prompts. And Infinite, you nailed it there. Your words inspired some incredible poems tonight from the good and the bad and everything in between. And like I had mentioned with Angel, stepping out of the romance into the darkness, so you brought out stuff in poets that maybe they didn't know that was in there. And I think that you did it beautifully. I think that your comments were amazing and that you did an awesome job making everybody know that you were impressed by their work and appreciate the fact that they wrote to your words. I thought your word choices, your poem quotes that we used were incredible themselves. So, with that kind of stuff to inspire us, how could we have not done great poems? And I had a lot of fun with mine stepping into the dark vampire story there, But on that note, I'd like to thank you again for saying yes about us using your words. And I would like to thank the board members, AP and Sweet Pea and Hatter. I'd like to thank the AP Taylor Poetry Foundation for sponsoring A Team of Voices Radio. And I want to say thank you to Kay and Stephen and Tony and Pee Wee and Angel and Jenny and Sky and LG Mace and Linda and Wayne and Phil and Gerald and David and Chaos. Appreciate you all very much. I think that you all did incredible justice to the words that Infinite provided for us. I appreciate you all and look forward to seeing how you pay tribute to the words of Purple Chaos next week. Again, 10 p.m. Eastern. Enjoy your 4th of July tomorrow. Happy birthday again to my daughter, Christina, and to Linda's husband, Jerry. I hope that
happy birthday.
They are having a fun time. And enjoy your 4th, Infinite. It was a great night. Appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And happy birthday to your daughter and happy birthday to Linda's husband. Happy 4th of July to everyone. So thank you for having me again. And y'all have a great night.
You do the same. And thanks again. And we will go out tonight in the spirit of the 4th of July with the song by, I believe it's Lee Greenwood. And the song is Proud to Be an American, and I'm looking forward in the studio to take us into the 4th of July holiday. And here it is. God bless the USA. Love and respect, everyone. Good night.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. But I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me, and I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that. Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
God bless the USA. Lee Greenwood. Have a great 4th, everyone. Stay safe. Thanks again, Infinite Destruction. Love and respect, everyone. Night Hatter.